Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And man, we have a bunch of stuff this morning, including... This broke as soon as I got off yesterday at 11.
Pretty quick, yeah.
Ryan M. Spader, baseball analyst, has written books.
It's MLB analyst, author of incredible baseball stats, host, I don't know what that means, but statistician, writer.
All-around baseball guy.
Yeah, baseball guy.
I got a text from my buddy Ian. He goes, "Are you seeing this stuff?" And I went to Twitter and I was like, "Holy crap, this is unbelievable!" And then I don't know that Charlie hit it on, but I heard Joel and Nick talking about it. They started their show, were able to start their show with it. But Ryan Spader just waylaid all of baseball and had a bunch of accusations. It'll be interesting to see and hear him expound on that, and we'll do that in a half hour. He's going to join us at 7:30 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know, he's an interesting guy. A question. So here, I'll give you an example. You know, the things he said, are some of them are things I've heard before and you've heard before.
Yeah, like the Dodger employee that was wearing a major league shirt. That was out there during right after it happened. That's been out there for a while.
In Minute Maid.
Yes,
it happened in Minute Maid.
Right.
So. And the Dodgers claimed, I guess, that they were trying to make sure the Astros weren't doing
anything.
Yeah,
right.
So there are things out there.
Cheaters.
And he made a comment on a show I heard him on yesterday with. He made a comment about 12 different players texted him after this and said, you know, that it was actually, you know, worse than he even knew and something to that effect. But here's something. A guy named Ben Stowers, just somebody on Twitter, says, "Waiting until you have the full information, sources, and people on the record may have been a good idea before tweeting all of these vague statements. When no source is clear, the reaction from fans and actual baseball writers of America, folks, was predictable." Because I guess there's a lot of them are, I guess, coming after him now. He said, quote-unquote, "actual BBWAA folks, that's funny given they've all but banned me." I don't know what that's about. Like, I don't. Here's the assumption we have to make, and the assumption everyone is making. It's not the same as Beltran's niece, but we are just going off of a guy on Twitter who has a blue check mark who's made a lot of accusations,
mm-hmm.
and it's in our favor, so it's good. Like, I like.
Yeah, no, I believe.
I like one, so it's much more believable now.
Yeah, than but Andy Martino's book, which sucks. It's stupid.
Well, Andy Martino is extraordinarily biased. You can write whatever book you want, but the way that he just sloughs off that the Yankees have done nothing because they vehemently deny it, basically, mm-hmm. is absolutely outlandish relative to what... I went back and read what the commissioner's report said, you know, and it clearly names Carlos Correa as a big force in that, and then the Athletic had that story that said Carlos was the absolute godfather. McCann tried to stop him. I'm just rehashing some...
Carlos Beltran, not Correa, you said.
I mean, I'm sorry. Carlos Beltran was the godfather... Brian McCann tried to stop him, and he rolled. Brian McCann said, "No, don't do it," and he rolled over him. He rolled over all the younger players because everyone was a younger player in 17, and rolled over AJ. And he said what they were doing was behind the times. Well, he just came from New York, mm-hmm. and then he went back to New York. And so, anyway, but I do want to, and he's going to join us at 7:30. I do want to also get out there that. He doesn't have source material other than he's been told this by people in the know and he's been texted by current players. And this is what he says. So I do want to put that out there. He doesn't have anything that baseball, I mean, unless somebody's willing to go on the record, and he was asked about that, are any of these people contacting you ever going to go on the record? And he said, you know, probably not until after they're done playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Some people in the game. So. You know, nothing's going to come from this other than it's just fodder for sports talk and for Twitter to fight with each other. I would doubt that you will see a story about this on ESPN because they're not going to be able to source it.
No, I mean it is. It's a bunch of and it's pretty wild. I mean,
we're going to go through him here in just a little bit. Everything he said.
Right. Well, we'll have him on too at 7:30. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. I mean, there is so much with the basketball last night that was unbelievable with the Astros and just home. I mean, the home run. A parade that they had last night with Garrett Cole, with DeGrom, with LeBron. It is story after story today. So we've got a bunch to talk about this morning here on the show. And we will have him on. We will have Ryan Spader on at the bottom of the hour. So we got some good stuff. Let's talk first about the Astros and that game last night. And Jose Altuve becoming the first player in Major League history to end a game with a grand slam and lead off the next game with a home run.
He's the first player in history?
Ever.
That's impossible.
Yeah, no.
Baseball's 300 years old.
It's 9,000 years. It's been around for 9,000 years. So, the first player to ever end a game with a grand slam and lead off the next game with a home run. So, Jose Altuve, he's just a home run machine. Dude, when he gets a hold of it, holy crap, it just jumps out of there. A little scary with Bregman, his quad, he pulled up running down to first base. That sucks. That's not any good. Chaz McCormick got his shot and hit two homers last night. Miles Straw actually hit one 373 feet.
Yeah. He had a home run that went over the total.
It went over the half total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His total was a half for the year. He went over. Miles Straw continues to assail Major League pitching, in which they had never been born.
Well,
every pitcher on the mound, like, I wish I had never been born or Miles Straw had never been born.
257 average now, 329 and 322. He's still in the 600s with his OPS, but he's hitting much better.
You
can't complain about
him,
dude.
Somehow.
Yeah. Well, you can't complain about him. Chaz McCormick, of course, is 860 OPS, but okay.
Now do on-base percentage for both and over the last 25 games. Do that. Play that game since that's Miles
Straw's
job.
I'm sorry. I thought, the season's only 25 games long. Dell, they shorten the season. You will love that.
Miles Straw
Dell is
hot.
Happy that it's only
Miles
a 25-game season now.
Miles Straw got hot.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know why you can send it.
Well,
you
Chaz
continue
McCormick,
to slander the Straw
Chaz
family.
Chaz McCormick can't get hot because he's never in the game.
You Miles continue Straw, to slander the Straw family.
Miles Straw has been good longer than he's been bad, John. In this season.
Awesome. Yeah. But Chaz McCormick has got an 859 OPS.
Why can't they both play, John?
Now
they will.
Now that Tucker's out.
Now they
definitely
will.
Celebrate
and Tucker
them
is,
both.
So you got to tell people what,
now,
what
Bregman,
Tucker's got.
Yeah. Well.
Bregman out hamstring. Or is hamstring.
Quad.
I mean quad. And Tucker out looks like COVID-y stuff.
Looks like.
Well, Jay, we have sound from Click we can get to, but Click didn't make it seem like it was a big deal. So.
It's not a big deal?
No, that's what he made
no.
it sound like.
Yeah, his sound is that it's not a big deal, but he's not going to – I mean, he's going to be out in the short term, obviously.
Yeah. We almost got a quality start out of Zach Greinke, 5 2/3 with 3 earned runs. It was close. Raley came in, had to give up his hit. Javier finally got some work. He gave up an earned run, and Stana came in and looked pretty damn good, too, so – listen, you got to find work for Javier. He can't be sitting like this.
Well, so they talked about. I read an article in the Athletic, and they said they've admitted they're going to change the way they use. They're no longer going to use Javier as that 4-inning reliever. He's going to be a reliever.
Yeah,
like he's going to be working high leverage situations.
Why not have him in the eighth and Presley in the ninth?
Well, they will more than likely use him in place of Presley in some instances. Like they're going to use him in just as so they will be using him more than as opposed to going 4 innings and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Now it's going to be here and here and here, right. And you may see him 3 times over a 7-game span.
That'd
you
be
know,
much better
if need be,
and especially in big game situations. You want Raley or Stanek or Javier?
No, you want Javier.
Of course you do. Of course you do. So no, that's much. You know, he's got his arm. You know, the way he goes about it has got to change because he was so used to trying to get strength in the arm for a bunch of innings. Now he's got to be a bounce back guy. So we'll see whether or not he's able to do that. But, he gave up a run last night in a couple of innings, and the Astros with an 8-4 win, and the White Sox are coming in, and Carlos Rodon, he's going to probably catch some after he made his little comments about the Astros, and Ryan Spader came out and said, oh yeah, Carlos Rodon, guess what? The Astros aren't the only ones. And the White Sox, you know what?
Is that what set him off? Because I didn't know what set off Ryan Spader. You know what? It's probably...
Well, we'll ask him what set him off.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad
because
time.
He was sick of this bull bleep, he said. He actually tweeted that. I'm sick of this bull.
Well, that's what got it started off, and then he started telling on people.
Yeah.
And here's how it got started off. He said, I've had enough. He said, I've had enough. I think I'm coming out with everything. No.
Yeah.
That's when he had enough part two. He had a lot to say because he did say, hire me. Let's see. I'll find the exact start of the thread because, man, he really, really unloaded on a lot of people and a lot of different places. Here it is. Here's his thread. He starts off, I've had enough. I think I'm coming out with everything tomorrow. I'm going to sleep on it. He said, everything that I'm about to say was verified by more than one player. I do not mean to burn anyone, and I love baseball. I just had enough of this bull bleep. He said, the Royals were the first team with a full analytics and video department close by their dugout, doing so in 2015, their World Series championship year. How they used it, I do not know. Now,
that caught a bunch of people. Wait a minute. So you're saying that they did something, but you don't know what they did.
Right, right. And that's why he can be picked apart in some of these, which will hurt his credibility. But that's also the year they beat the Astros. The Yankees had cameras in left, center, and right, all pointing at the pitcher's glove rather than the catcher to pick up his grip. Aaron Judge, and he gives his splits in 2017, home and away for Aaron Judge. The next comment, this is a long thread. The Dodgers had an employee who was caught setting up cameras at Minute Maid Park wearing a Major League Baseball polo when he should have been wearing a Dodgers polo during the 17 World Series. I think that's a rule that you need to wear. If you work for a team, you have to wear their stuff. This one hurts to say. My favorite player ever, Chase Utley, was the biggest cheater of all time. He has that in quote-unquote, so somebody has told him that. He said, as insane as it sounds, I've heard this from multiple players. Adrian Beltre had a buddy with binoculars in dead center who would wave a beater, an undershirt, if he was getting something off speed in 2017. Home batting average was .362 and OPS was over 1,000. Away was like low 800s on the OPS. Everything Kratzy already said about the Rockies. Then he said the Astros, which is that the Rockies did a lot of cheating. The Astros' quote-unquote sign-stealing method still came from, or all came from Beltran, New York, and Texas. Then he said the Diamondbacks use humidors when pitching and non-humidor balls when batting at home, and we have heard that.
That was the Rockies that we heard about.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah. He said the Diamondbacks. Yeah. I do not have a time frame on this, but I'm confident it happened. From a player who asked to remain nameless, quote, don't forget the Twins at Metrodome would open up right field doors creating suction when the Twins batted, then close them when the opponents hit.
That's a New York Giants football a little trick. Remember they used to in the end zone?
About the kickers.
For the kickers.
Yeah, and they said it was a nightmare because of the way the wind swirls in there. But he's got a lot of different... Now, he went on and on. He had different comments. That's in one thread. And some people have come after him. But we'll get him on to talk about this at 7:30 because, like I said, he does have a background in baseball and statistics. And you can decide for yourself. But that was something that got red hot in terms of his comments yesterday because it does back up the things that we have heard, which is, and the things we've been saying, look, this is a, and things that players have told us and people close to the game. This is a league-wide thing. This is not Astros only. No. It's just they're the scapegoats.
They're
so
the face.
Now other fan bases are having to deal with at least somebody saying something.
They're the face of it. And then I just saw there was an article out about Altuve not being the face of cheating, even though he's taken the brunt of it. With the proof that Altuve was one of the least was one of the cheated less than and most all the other guys, but people don't care. It's 7:14 ESPN 97.5 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. We got so much more to do. Let's talk about the NBA, and then Ryan Spader joins us at the bottom of the hour right here. Don't you go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Korkmaz got a man in the air. He missed it. Clock ticks. Curry, that one's good. Point one on the clock. And this is going to be an Atlanta victory in Game 5. What a comeback and what a collapse by the Sixers.
I like that dirty ass, trash ass city.
109-106. The Atlanta Hawks now lead 3-2 in this best of seven second round playoff series.
That was one of the most unlikely, incredible comebacks in NBA history. What we witnessed, and one of the biggest collapses, and it is a collapse that will definitely seal the fate of one Ben Simmons. He can go ahead and start packing his stuff up because he will no longer be, I'm telling you now, he will no longer be
how a unbelievable
76er when it's said and done. And this is why I say that if you didn't watch a game, and there's really no reason for you to. The Sixers were in total control that game for most of the game. They were outscored 40-19 in the fourth quarter. They gave up 40 points. The most they'd given up before that was in the third quarter. They gave up 69. They got outscored 69-44 in the second half of that game, but 40-19 in the fourth quarter. And it wasn't on Joel Embiid. I mean, Embiid showed up again despite his injury. Embiid had 37 points and 13 rebounds. How did the other first pick of the draft do for Team Morey? I'll tell you, Ben Simmons played 38 minutes. Was 2 of 4 from the field, 0 of 0 from 3, 4 of 14 from the free throw line.
That is awful.
9 assists, 2 turnovers. He scored 8 points.
How is Ben Simmons one, an all star? How is Ben Simmons one of the better players? He's just not. He can't shoot the ball. He's a really good defender because he's long. He's athletic. He can get to the basket some, but he basically disappears. He is the most useless star I've ever seen.
In the regular season, his free throw percentage was 61. In the postseason, it's 32%.
He's awful.
He is an atrocity right now. This is your number two. Joel Embiid does not have – they're down now 3-2. That should have been a walk-in-the-park win. You just ride that 20-something –
15-point lead,
12-point lead, whatever the lead was at that particular time, you should have been
the
able to
Sixers
cruise in. The
Sixers were 165-0 over the last 25 years when they led by 25 or more.
Yeah. Well, now they're one.
165-1.
Now they got a one. And I'm telling you, Daryl Morey demands what he looks for is freeze and threes. Well, he didn't do either one of those. Especially out of his star players. Granted, you can go find some role players who you say, well, he wasn't a great three-point shooter. He wasn't a great free-throw shooter. Well, he wants you to get to the free-throw line, for one, but he also wants you to make them. Ben Simmons is a star, supposedly. Is he number two?
Is he, though?
Well, that's why I say supposedly, but he doesn't make threes, he doesn't shoot threes, and he's bad at frees. There's really no reason for him to play on the team that Daryl Morey runs, and this team obviously has no heart. I mean, it's a team that I will say Embiid is certainly – done well for himself, other than that 0-for-12 in the last game. In game 4, in the fourth quarter, another big, easy, and by the way, another game that they were cruising and somehow found a way to lose in the fourth quarter. This is the second collapse in the fourth quarter by the Sixers, who should have closed the series out. Instead, they find themselves down 3-2 right now, instead of closing the series and moving on to the finals. That's how bad they've been in the fourth quarter. They have blown double-digit leads in the fourth quarter. And they are now down.
This is a thing with Doc.
He was the Sixers coach. I mean, the Clippers coach when they gagged against the Rockets.
When James Harden didn't even play.
and Blake and Chris Paul both kind of went to Gag City. And Josh, of all people, Josh Smith was just on fire in the fourth quarter.
So this was unbelievable. The Hawks possibly in the Eastern Conference Finals? The Hawks, really? What and Trae Young is he's spectacular, but they finally found Lou Williams. Lou Williams finally getting in there and able to.
Yeah.
Lou Williams has been one of the best six men in the league for how long now?
Capella really didn't do anything. It was when you look at it, it's Trae Young scoring 39. I mean, putting the team on his back. And then 17 and 19 from the free throw line. So he went full James Harden in this one. 39 points, 17 of them from the free throw line where he shoots it well. 7 assists. But then, yeah, Lou Williams and Gallinari. You know, they show up, and that was it. Those are, well, I guess in Collins.
John Collins.
So you have four
players. Do you see him bank one in, a three? He banked one in from the top of the key. Hey, listen, you got to have some luck. And Trae Young with that. I don't know, is this still going to be what Trae Young did? He went up, and he got fouled on a three-point attempt. Is that still going to be a foul?
That may be eliminated. If you're not in your verticality, if you go either way and you create the contact, I think they're going to take it out.
I don't know if that would have been next year, if that is going to be what they're talking about, whether or not Trae Young would have gone to the free throw line for three free throws. But 17 and 19, he's the anti-Ben Simmons. He literally is the anti-Ben Simmons.
Well, I tell you, another guy who stepped up who, you know, obviously huge questions around Paul George, but the guy who is most often mocked for his poor playoff performances, he had a phenomenal game in one of the toughest places to play in Utah, where they had a 31-5 record with no Kawhi Leonard. And we talked about this from a handicapping standpoint. Those situations almost always play themselves to the team that you don't expect it to. And I don't know if it's a letdown by the other team or if it's just the team rises to the occasion, but Paul George had 37 in that one, and they were down at the half, but really played great basketball in the third, took the lead, and then it was back and forth in the fourth quarter. But then Paul George with his 37, Reggie Jackson had 22, and you also had 25 from Marcus Morris. As Marcus Morris has been really shooting the ball well for them from three-point line, a guy that Daryl Morey drafted, and then he actually became a three-point shooter.
Instead of Kawhi. Guess who's better? Marcus Morris.
Marcus Morris, yeah.
How many did Kawhi have last night? None.
Zero.
Yeah.
So if you want to work off of that, absolutely.
Right. It's trending that Marcus Morris is greater than Kawhi.
But his regular season, he shot 40. You know, Marcus Morris shot 47% in the regular season from three. In 57 games, he shot 47% from three. Marcus Morris is 40% in the playoffs. His career, he's almost 38. Like, Daryl nailed him on what kind of shooter he was. He just didn't nail Kawhi Leonard. But Marcus became he's also bounced around a variety of teams.
Oh, yeah.
So it's clearly not like, you know, no one's locking in on him long term. But Marcus Morris with a big game, you have Rockets, Suns, Detroit, Boston, New York, and now Clippers. So six different teams for Marcus Morris.
But you're right. I mean, without Kawhi, a game, you know, a big game at home for the Jazz with that crowd, everything, and they lay an egg, and the Clippers come out of there with a win. It was bound to happen. All right, 727. John Clay Wolf joining us here on ESPN 97. On the other side, Ryan Spader, who outed all of baseball yesterday. We'll have him on with us. But right now, John Clay Wolf joins us. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
Aren't you from Chicago? Is that where you're from?
Originally, yes.
That's where I'm heading this morning.
You're what?
That's where I'm up to. I'm heading to Chicago. You know what I'm talking about now, going to Chicago.
It's still, everything's still closed there, so you won't have any fun.
Well, I've got to meet with the radio group and the auctions and all that stuff because we're starting getting into the Yankee or angry, assaulted Miss Midwesterner division.
So, that's about what it is. I think you're dead on there. What station are you going to be on up there?
I forgot. It's one of iHeart's. It's edgy rock. I like the buzz in Houston.
Wow. All right. Well, good. Good for you, man. Just going all over you. There's a bunch of people that need to. Now, watch out because they got that salt there and they all rust out there. You're buying Yankee rusted cars, so watch yourself.
We've been in D.C. for 2 years now, and it's the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Angry liars. Angry liars. The angry liar division is what it should be called.
And tell people how good this mark, how good Houston is, and how good it's been to you.
Houston's great. Houston, you know, we started the company in Houston. Actually, even though it's based in Dallas-Fort Worth, I started it in Houston because I was on the air here on 97.5. And that's a whole other story, but I'll tell you the story about how Texas, remember Texas Direct? Now they're Vroom, but they used to be Texas Direct.
Mm-hmm.
They fired me. If you remember, I was the voice on the radio. They were my advertiser for the show for like 5 years. And then they wanted to come to Dallas, and I said, no, I'm doing Dallas for myself. And Rick Williams, the owner of Texas Direct, said, well, if you don't do Dallas for Texas Direct, then we're going to let you go. I'm like, well, it's not your show. It's my show. And he said, well, we're not going to sponsor anymore. I'm like, okay, but I'm going to start giving it to Van Houston. And thank God for Rick Williams, actually. And we need to have a Rick Williams celebration day for him doing that.
Well, let's have Rick Williams celebration day today. GiveMeTheVin.com. If you're looking to sell your car, thank Rick Williams. Go to GiveMeTheVin.com. Thanks, John Clark.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You got his number. We got to text him. I know, but we got voicemail. So see if you can't get a hold of him. Ryan Spader going to be joining us hopefully shortly here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you haven't seen his tweets, came out yesterday. Boy, he just unloaded on everybody in baseball. And you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, he says that he has And I don't know if he's going to be able to out the guys that have told him, that have confirmed what he is saying about the Yankees, what he's saying about the Dodgers, what he's saying about the Twins, about the Royals. I mean, he really unloaded yesterday. And, you know, maybe he did tell, you'd heard him yesterday saying, I can't tell you my sources until after they're done with baseball, right? And well, out of the
he's
game.
Never going to say his sources probably won't come out.
Right.
And that's even if they do.
Right. So, I mean, and then he came out with one, about the Royals. He said, yeah, they put cameras outside how they used it. I do not know. So they were the first ones, were the first team with a full analytics and video department close by their dugout. Doing so in 2015, and that's when they won the World Series. So they cheated the Astros out of the Astros would have won the World Series had it not been for the Royals. So now we hate them.
Yeah, the surprise.
But it's World hard Series. To hate the Royals, really.
No, I didn't hate the Royals, but you know what he said was they were the first to have the analytics department, and they moved their video department close to the dugout. But that apparently is not super unusual, simply because you want to. You know, you want to have someone near you for whatever's going on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, it doesn't mean that you're cheating necessarily.
Right. So. Well, here Ryan Spader is joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Analytics guy, written a book. He is a baseball guy through and through. Has been a lifer. Joining us here on ESPN 97.5. Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you? Oh, we can't hear him. Something's wrong. Ryan, can you hear us? You got his everything's good on our end?
Yeah, we'll try him again.
Okay. He seems to be locked in there, but it doesn't appear to be working. We're working on getting Ryan Spader in here. And he caused a bleep storm yesterday. We loved it all. I'm sure New York, Ryan Spader is going to be persona non grata in New York. After his tweets, there was a lot of, the Yankees letter that came up, a lot of discussion about the letter.
A reminder?
Yeah, that the judge wants the letter open, but the Yankees are appealing and saying it would be detrimental to the Yankees' reputation if this letter was exposed, was made public.
That's the most damning sounding thing I've ever heard.
Well, oh, really? Oh, you mean if you're caught cheating, it's going to be bad for your reputation? The Astros didn't know that, apparently. The Astros never heard of that. You know what? Because they obviously would have said, nah, we didn't do anything. In hindsight now, do you think the Astros wish they had not cooperated? The players?
No, I think there was too much. I think they had too much to. I think their fear of being suspended, targeted, their money being gone, their. I think Major League Baseball, because they had something from a pitcher.
Well, the Red Sox lied, and nothing happened to them.
All it took is one team. Yeah, they didn't have a pitcher rat on them. They had nobody who was on their team who was aware of the details. He had details. Fires gave them, you know, Fires had details that he could give. And that's a lot. I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, knowing everything you know right now, but at the time, it just wasn't really an option because the fear was, man, we got caught. And so many people, and there were people who weren't there anymore. Remember, it wasn't all in-house anymore. You had people who were staffers who had been fired and let go after the World Series. Remember, we know that for a fact. How many people knew about this? And if those people knew it and they weren't working for the Astros, why wouldn't they cooperate?
Well, I'm sure the Red Sox had some people that weren't working there anymore, too, that could have exposed them.
Well, the Astros was 17. The Red Sox were what?
18.
18.
But the Red Sox had the game plan of not...
The Red Sox didn't have a Fires either.
Yeah, right, right.
It wasn't... I mean,
no
everything
one,
is
no
supposition
one who would rat them out.
Until you have a player.
Right.
You need a player, really, is right. What you needed. And that's what happened.
Well, what about Eric Kratz? He's come out and said, well, hey, look at what the Rockies were doing.
Okay.
And what?
He's come out and said it. When? He's not even playing still. Fires is still playing. No.
But so who cares? What do you mean? What's the difference? If he outs them and says this is what was happening, then I don't care. He was there.
Okay, so if Major League Baseball's contacting him, is he going to cooperate?
Well, then you know Major League Baseball doesn't want to contact him. That is a discussion here because now it's all about grip and everything else.
Well,
we're
going to
move past the video stuff.
We know Major League Baseball.
We don't need that scandal anymore.
Major League Baseball doesn't want that stuff.
No.
No, they don't. They don't want it. The question is, are they going to be forced into it ever? That's going to be the question.
Well, we'll find out whether or not what Ryan Spader tweeted yesterday is going to open up Major League Baseball investigations. We know they want this swept under the rug. The Astros were the only ones, and so on and so forth. And so we want that. No. We got a new one. It's called Spider Tech. That's what we got to worry about now. Forget all the video stuff because the Astros were the only cheaters, remember? The Astros were the only ones doing it. We got our villain. We don't need any more villains. So we're just going to do that. We don't want the Yankees to be hated, the Red Sox to be hated, the Dodgers to be hated. That's for the Astros. It's not for anybody else. It's not for anybody else in Major League Baseball. That's just the Astros. So we'll find. I don't know that this is going to open up any kind of an investigation for Major League Baseball, but damn it, it should. And damn it, the Astros are probably just back there just giggling, going, oh, you see all of you? We took the brunt of it for all of baseball, and now look. We'll see if something doesn't come of this. Hopefully it will. So is he here? Yeah, well, he's got to give him. Ryan Spader joining us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, Dell, I think we got him. Let's get Ryan in here. Analysis. He's written a book.
Yeah, Ryan,
he's done it all in baseball.
Why don't you tell us how would you describe yourself from a baseball standpoint? What is your entire background?
Well, first of all, I got to apologize. I was having a hard time getting in touch with you guys.
No problem.
So that's all on me. But in terms of my baseball background, what I often tell a lot of these ball players that I talk to, I'm a ball player. I just suck. So I had to find another way in the game. And for me, it was numbers. I'm good with numbers. I'm a little bit better with numbers than I am with the curveball. So that was my route into baseball.
MLB analyst, author, host, statistician, writer, and also a hedge fund guy. With us here, Ryan Spader. What was you just went off and you said I am sick of this bull bleep. What was the final straw that made you tweet all that yesterday?
So, to be honest with you, I look at the direction in which baseball's going, and I think it's the same thing over and over again. We saw it with before I was born with cocaine in the mid '80s, then the steroid era. Then the juice ball era, a bunch of one thing that remains untalked about is therapeutic use exemptions. Certain players have them for things like HGH and other things. And then I started seeing the exact same thing happen with this sticky stuff. And I can't stand by and watch it happen again where Major League Baseball points their fingers at, you know, the likes of, I know he's not the most popular guy in Houston, but the likes of Trevor Bauer, the likes of Garrett Cole, and says, hey, it's your guys' fault. Or puts it on, puts the onus on an individual team like they did with the Astros and the sign stealing stuff. And I just couldn't stand by and watch it happen again. And I said, you know what, I've had enough. And I decided to come forward with the information that I had, the information that I got from several different players.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, you know, a really poor, I mean, right, it's you have so much video footage now where people can capture it on, you know, on television. Where pitchers now, for whatever reason, they just don't even hide the fact that they're going to the glove, they're going to the belt. And sometimes when they do try to hide it, people have the video and they can decipher it, and which has put, I think, much more attention on it and why Major League Baseball maybe felt like they had to act, because it's being exposed, despite the fact that they certainly probably don't want it exposed. But it is interesting that a really, really bad answer by Garrett Cole kind of pushed him into the forefront as the guy with the spider tack. But the reality is he had happened to him, and what disgusted you is he had happened to him the same thing that happened to the Astros, where once you find your scapegoat, once you find your person, that's what social media especially will stick with. That one person or that one team, and then they seem to turn a blind eye to everything else.
No, you're exactly right. And Garrett Cole, I mean, he failed miserably in that situation. Now, I don't put that on Garrett Cole. Like, he's doing something that every other pitcher in the big leagues is doing. Did he fail in the situation? Yes. He probably should have had a better answer prepared. He did not. It wasn't necessarily his responsibility to do so, though. I look at this as a Major League Baseball problem, not as an individual player problem. We're not talking about a single player or a single team. We're talking about something that's happening league-wide. I just, since yesterday, I've had several different pitchers reach out to me and be like, hey, man, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm trying to just make, what do you call it, level ground, right? And I've heard from several different players, several different pitchers who are probably doing the same thing that Garrett Cole's doing. In the situation that he was put in, forced into, I think it's a difficult one. I think he failed in the situation. However, again, I just don't think he should have been in that situation to begin with.
Ryan Spader with us here on ESPN 97.5. He outed a bunch of teams yesterday on Twitter. Accusations flying about video cheating while the Astros have been the scapegoat. And one thing, Ryan, Carlos Beltran, it was made public that Carlos Beltran was the guy who walked into the Astros locker room and said, you guys are way behind. And he was the mastermind behind this, along with Alex Cora. They both got suspended. But why is it that no one in the media, I believe that no one in the media wants to have New York pissed off at him, so that they just ignored that whole thing. If Carlos Beltran came from New York and said, you guys are behind, it was happening in New York. And yet everybody in the media just dismissed that.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm not totally sure if it has anything to do with them not wanting New York to be quote unquote pissed off at them, right? For me, I'm in a very unique situation. Baseball doesn't pay for my meals. It doesn't pay for my rent. I work for, you know, I got out of the Marine Corps and I still work for the Marine Corps. That's what pays for my rent. I am in a situation where I don't really care if, and you know, he's a great dude, Jeff Passan, great, great guy, very good dude, but I don't care if he's pissed off at me. I don't care if Rob Manfred's pissed off at me. It doesn't really matter that much to, you know, to my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, I was maybe a little bit more willing to come forward with some of the information that, you know, that I shared.
I'm curious if you think that you'll be contacted by anybody, by any teams, or more importantly, by anyone surrounding Major League Baseball. It has been strange that so much has been out there, and yet Major League Baseball, so many former players have made comments. Eric Kratz, who you also referenced yesterday during your Twitter thread about cheating and some of the things that he talked about.
He commented on it. I don't know if you saw that.
What's that?
He commented on it, too.
What did he say?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. What did he say?
So one of the first things that I said was that the Royals were the first team to have the video room near the dugout. And Kratz actually said, false, everybody had that. And he sent me a text about it. He said everybody had it by then.
Oh, yeah.
I see that one. I see that tweet.
Yeah, so yeah. It's been going on. So, okay, my question is, why hasn't Major League Baseball, after he made his comments and then took a not very thinly veiled shot at the Dodgers for being a team that was cheating? I guess the question is, Mike Fiers makes a comment, and rightfully so, Major League Baseball's got to look into that. This show is not saying anything other than that. We recognize that. But the consistency, why wouldn't Major League Baseball, or do you know if they have reached out to Kratz and started to grill him on what he knows and how he knows it, so that they can truly get to the bottom of all quote-unquote cheating in baseball?
So the thing about Kratz is, how can you be so specific? And this is the one thing that I kind of was questioning when people were reaching out to me saying that, you know, I'm full of crap and all this other stuff. How can you be so specific and be making something up? I mean, this man was talking about, like, I believe a vibrator on a bench.
The Theragun.
That is insanely specific to be making something up. And from my perspective, Eric Kratz, he's a very, very well-respected ball player. You know, he grinded. He didn't make the league until he was like 30 years old or something like that. He's very, very well-respected throughout the league. And it just seems very, very strange to me that all of a sudden he would want to make something up to disparage the game for whatever reason, a game that he played for nearly 20 years.
Ryan Spader with us here out at baseball yesterday on Twitter. And then it evolved into talk about the Yankees letter. And we've been asking for, and yet no one in the media is asking this, Ryan. What is going on with the letter? Why do the Yankees so badly don't want this out there? Their thought is that it's going to hurt the Yankees' reputation. Well, no, duh. If you cheat, they look at the Astros. That's what happened to them. Look at their reputation. But yet the league is protecting the Yankees and continues to protect the Yankees.
That's what it looks like.
Yes, and honestly, I'm inclined to agree. So I think there's three teams that are considered by Major League Baseball to be quote-unquote international teams, and that's the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Boston Red Sox, and the New York Yankees. And I think that Major League Baseball is so desperate to spread internationally that they will do anything to protect those three teams. And I think that is sort of what we're seeing. You had mentioned earlier, and I didn't mean to ignore it, forgive me, do I expect to be contacted by anybody? I've already been contacted by reps from the Players Union. I don't know if Major League Baseball is going to reach out to me, if they're just going to ignore this. I mean, I can tell you right now, that whole, I know that they see what I'm doing, because that whole playoff situation that we had last year, you know, with the crazy playoffs, is actually something that I wrote up probably about a year before they implemented it. So I know they're seeing what I'm doing, and I'd be willing to bet that they're probably not thrilled with the way that I went about this one here.
No, they're not. You know, I think it's interesting. I had something that I wrote in the Houston Chronicle years ago about Albert. I had some inside information on Albert Haynesworth and his contract before he went to Washington, and I put it out there. And, you know, it's just me putting it in my blog I had on the Houston Chronicle. Well, it got picked up nationally, and this is before social media, obviously, so word travels a little slower. But once Pro Football Talk got a hold of it, oh, my gosh, I was inundated with phone calls and then messages through emails. And I'm curious, your day, I noticed your follower count shooting up yesterday and your name being mentioned in several places. I'm curious if there was ever a point after you put all this information out there where you had any regret or concern or fear or if you were anxious once you saw, holy crap, this thing got a way bigger. I'm assuming it got way bigger than you anticipated.
Yeah, it definitely did. And I will tell you there.
Because it's nerve-wracking. I can tell you for a fact it's nerve-wracking.
I can tell you I was talking with a couple of my friends last night and you know, my one buddy, White Sox Dave, right, with Barstool, and you know, couple other folks who I was talking to, and I was like, I probably shouldn't have done this.
I know it goes through your mind when you have all that heat come down on you. Mm-hmm. There's no question.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting, but in the end, I think it's important to tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think Major League Baseball does that. I don't think they ever do that. And like I said earlier, I love baseball, but it just doesn't affect my day-to-day life all that much. And so I just decided to take the leap. Yeah, it got a lot bigger than I anticipated. Really. Probably wish it didn't get quite as big as it did, but you know, that's the price you pay. Sometimes.
Well, hopefully it gets bigger. Ryan Spanier, he ain't scared. He's a Marine. He ain't scared of Twitter and all the haters out there. And thank you for your service, by the way, Ryan.
I appreciate it.
let me ask you this question: you and Kevin Reavy wrote incredible baseball stats, the coolest, strangest stats and facts in baseball history. What's your favorite weird stat?
Oh, man. So there's a couple of them that I really like. I'll tell you one of Wade Boggs, who forwarded the original book. Lance McCullers Jr. actually did the second one. But Boggs reached base safely in 152 games in 1985. That's an all-time record. And then in two of the games that he did not reach safely, he reached on error. One of the games, he had an RBI. So the man was basically productive in 155 of 161, I believe, he had played that year. And one of the games that he did nothing, he was pulled after the first inning because he had a little hamstring issue. That he quickly recovered from. One other that I'll tell you that I absolutely love, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Barry Bonds. 80 home runs over the span of 160 games, slugging .921 over that stretch.
Incredible.
That's
not really incredible when the size of his head doubled. What about that stat?
I thought you were going to come with Barry Bonds' hat size stat.
Yeah. Yeah.
He went to a 9? Wow.
He went from a 7 to a 12? What?
What about Jose Altuve, what he did yesterday? First time in Major League Baseball history, you go from a walk-off grand slam to end a game to a lead-off home run, or your first at-bat, you have a home run to
let
begin
off the game. End of the game and then let
end
off
of the
game.
End of the game and let off the game. That's the first time in Major League Baseball history that's happened, where it was grand slam and then a home run to start a game.
You know, you're actually teaching me that one, and
I didn't know it either.
I'm actually kind of blown away. That is remarkable. I may have to put that in the third version of the book.
Put it in there because I'm thinking, okay,
I'll have to credit you guys.
Baseball's like 700 years old, and somehow this has never happened before.
That is remarkable, unbelievable stat right there. I love it.
That is great stuff. So, Ryan, we hope, I know you wanted to calm down a little bit. We hope it just all of a sudden lights a fire.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen? What is, you know, you're going to get picked apart and your credibility is going to get picked apart by people, and you don't care, and that's good.
I've already dealt with this so many times. People all the time want to pick apart my credibility because I'm not, because I don't, you know, you mentioned it, or I don't work for Major League Baseball. I don't work for the New York media, but guess what? MLB Network has me on. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, good for you.
It's not because I don't know what I'm talking about.
We certainly hope you.
Man, it would be nice if baseball, if Rob Manfred actually manned up and actually looked into this, and because the Astros have been such a scapegoat. And we know how rampant it has been, and yet the national media and baseball has just overlooked this thing. Maybe you lit a fire, Ryan. We hope you did, because here we're pretty sick of all the Astro hate here. And you know what? I've gotten to a point I don't care anymore. It pissed me off so bad, but now I just don't care.
I don't mind you hating. Just be consistent.
Yeah.
Just the consistency, the lack of consistency from Major League Baseball, and frankly, Ryan, from the national media, who does know better. I mean, we all have people around baseball who we know who have told us this for years and years. And I've even heard someone who was once tight with the commissioner's office, who's now gotten back into the game on a team side. They said the commissioner's office, or that they have some secondhand information about the Dodgers, which has always been strange to me that the Dodgers would chirp the loudest. Like, if you know your team has something, like if you're the Yankees and Dodgers, why in the world would players come out and make comments if they know that they have something in their background?
Because they think they're untouchable.
Is that simple?
There's no other reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they're touchable now because of you. We appreciate it. Ryan Spader, follow him on Twitter at Ace of Spader, AEDER. And great stuff. We appreciate it. Thanks for outing everybody. And hopefully something comes of it. We appreciate you being here.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks. All right. There's Ryan Spader right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So thanks for outing everybody.
Yeah.
You said thanks for snitching.
Yeah.
Just said
No. Outing. I didn't say
snitching.
Yeah,
that's not snitching.
That's not snitching.
That's not snitching.
No.
That's telling on the
cheaters and the hypocrites and the liars.
All the hypocrites, yeah. I think that's a biblical passage where somebody, like, snitches on the hypocrites.
It's a hypocritic
oath, I think that's
Lance.
It's in one of the books.
Yeah, it's the Hippocratic Oath is what it is.
Okay. I think that's with doctors, but maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's in this.
I said, we don't know.
It's the medical profession, but I don't. I do know that one. It is not, definitely not what this
well,
is.
Well, what about being an underdog like Ryan?
Underdog Fantasy is great. I did not do well last night on Underdog Fantasy, but I did 2 days ago, so I don't care. I'm going to keep firing at him. And Underdog Fantasy is a chance for you to play fantasy sports, daily fantasy, or even league-wide, season-wide. I'll give you an example. They have it's the best new place to play fantasy sports, hands down. I've been following this and been doing this, you guys know, for a long, long time. It's an easy-to-play format, the best ball format they have, with no waivers, no trades. You just draft, you set it and forget it. Because there's no trades, there's no lineup settings, there's no in-season management at all. Get your teams, and if you're truly skilled at this, you got a chance to pick a team. It's going to stay the same team, and you're going to get the best scores out there. It's the best way to draft riskier players, but be rewarded for it. Your risk reward is going to make some sense at the end if you're truly skilled at fantasy, and I believe I am. Sign up right now with promo code RADIO, and your first deposit is going to get you a $25 free bonus in cash, and you can use that to sign up for their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament, which has over $3.5 million in total prizes. Download the app and start playing today, whether it's from Android or from the iPhone for your Apple iPhone. Terms and conditions apply, but this is a great chance for you to play daily or season-long fantasy sports and to play their great over-under game as well.
ESPN 97.5.